So how many of you feel pulled in lots of different directions? All of us, pretty much, I hope, or I don't hope, but it's probably true. In staff meeting here at St. Matthew's recently, we were talking about the fact that we had noticed recently that both with ourselves and with everybody we knew, this fall seems like a really particularly intense time. We notice that we and others around us feel particularly overwhelmed, struggling with conflicting needs and tasks. So I want us to invite all of us to just take a minute and take a deep breath. And I invite you to silently inventory those categories of things in your life that are pulling you in different directions. And I am not inviting you to go over your to-do list, right? That would take all morning. I'm just saying, what categories of things are pulling at you? I invite you to, with a spirit of kindness, notice and name them inside yourself. And once you've done that, I want to invite you to let those things be and become very present here, right now. You know, we call this physical space a sanctuary, and it's not because the building is magical or because God is more present here than God is anywhere else, but because we come here with intention, with the intention to let go of the urgent and become present to what actually matters, to what's real, to what's really important. You know, today's text would be very easy for us to skim over because most of us have heard it many times. It's very familiar. But it is also the core of Christian teaching and practice. It is the essence and the heart of following the way of Jesus. It's the foundation of the 8 spiritual practices that the people of St. Matthew's identified a few years ago. So I want to invite us to hear it again as if we had never heard it before. I'll read it to you. This is what Jesus teaches us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourselves. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So, love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. There are 2 things that are not the same, but that do go together. Well, let me ask you this. Do you naturally gravitate toward one more than the other? I don't know about you, but some of us might find it easier and more practical to just think about loving our neighbors, right? We're all good, ethical, justice-loving people, and we want to love our neighbors. We think it's a great idea. The problem is we also know it's very difficult to do this. I mean, it's kind of like Charlie Brown said, I love humankind. It's the people I can't stand. We all get annoyed with our spouses and our parents and our kids, and not to mention the people who are out and out rude to us. And, you know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus invites us to do more than love our neighbors. He invites us to love our enemies, too. Well, good luck with that. It's hard. How are we to be able to fulfill this command? I would say we can't do it without loving God first. And that's what the commandment says. So let's turn toward loving God. You know, you would think that since it is the first and greatest commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we would talk a lot about that at church. We would have faith forums on it and hear lots of sermons about it. And we do say the words love God a lot. But how often do we really look at what that means in practice? What does it look like? How do you love God? Especially, how do you love God with all of your being? Even though it is implicit in everything we do here, today I want to make it explicit. And the answer is very simple. The author of 1 John said, we love God because God first loves us. There was an 18th century Anglican woman named Hannah Moore who said it this way. Our love for God arises out of want, and God's love for us arises out of fullness. We love God because God first loves us. We can experience this, and then that empowers in us a spontaneous reaction of loving God back. And then that motivates all of our other actions and motivations, not out of a sense of obligation, but out of gratitude. Well, so let me tell you a story about how this works in practice. You all know Valerie, the party of the church right over here. She grew up in Jamaica, and her mother was a powerful woman. Valerie was one of nine children at first, and Valerie's mother taught all nine children to have Christ as the center of their home. And Valerie's mother had the gift of generosity like probably no one we've ever met. She was so open to everyone in need. And one day, in Valerie's neighborhood, there was a couple that was fighting. And unfortunately, they were fighting because the father did not believe that the six-year-old daughter who lived with them was his biological child. And so eventually, the mother and the daughter, Lucy, were kicked out of the house and lived on the street. And Valerie's mother, wouldn't you know, although she already had nine children, invited Lucy, the six-year-old, to come live with them. And Lucy never left. Lucy became a Matthews. She is the 10th child. She is Valerie's sister today. And you know what's even more amazing to me is, Valerie, if you don't know her, she works with kids who are traumatized and kids who have been through a lot. This child, Lucy, was not traumatized. She does not have attachment issues. And the reason that is true is because the Matthews family embraced her so thoroughly. And what was it, do you think, that gave Valerie's mother the power to have 10 children instead of 9? It was the love of God. Valerie and I were talking about that and trying to even articulate how that works. And the best we could come up with was this. In her body, in her bones, Valerie's mother could see that child and feel God's love for her. And based on that, she couldn't not act. It was impossible for her to not do something. When we know the love of God for us and for others that deeply, we can't not act on it. It's not something we generate out of our own willpower. It is like being plugged into, it is being plugged into a greater power that is beyond us, but that does move through us and heal everything around us as a result. Well, not all of us are made like Valerie's mother. We may not all have the gift of generosity in that way. But all of us are loved by God, and all of us do have unique gifts that God has given us, not for ourselves, but for the sake of the whole. Instead of being pulled in many directions, we can choose to live differently. We can choose the practice of simplicity, the intention of recognizing God's love for us and responding by starting anew every day to love God with our whole being, and then using the gifts God's given us to love our neighbors as ourselves. I want to offer you a visual of what this looks like. Instead of being pulled in 1,000 different directions, the shape of the Christian life is cruciform. It is love of God, the vertical dimension, and love of neighbor, the horizontal dimension. We need only be pulled in two directions that meet at the cross, at the person of Jesus the Christ. Jesus was the person in whom God's love for us was most fully revealed, and it is that love for us that empowers everything else, the love of God and the love of neighbor. So, you know, the cross has been used for many things, some positive and some negative, but I invite you to a renewed understanding of what that is every time you see a cross, every time you cross yourself, I invite you to get in touch with God's love for you, which empowers you to love God back and love your neighbors through that. Well, one real life practice that you can do besides, you know, walking around crossing yourself and looking like an idiot is something Blair offered us in staff meeting the other day. We were all talking. In fact, I was complaining about how I felt like I had more to do than was possible to get done. It's probably being overly dramatic. And she said, you know, in the morning when you wake up, instead of just reviewing your to-do list, go ahead and review your to-do list, but then ask yourself, where is God in this? And what are God's priorities here? And be willing to shift your day on the basis of that. You might think it is of your to-do list as, where can I find God's love in this? And where am I being invited to love God back and love my neighbor in this? And I'm not doing that perfectly, but I can tell you that is shifting my sense of overwhelm. So I share it with you. Thank you, Blair. It has been really powerful. It all comes down to one thing. God loves us first. Therefore, let us love God and our neighbors. Amen.